Thank you. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. What a precious gift Jesus is this morning. Amen. Some of you agree with me this morning. I'm happy about that. Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Glad to be with you personally this morning. Amen. How many of you know that through the schemes of Satan and life in general, it took some of us everything to get here? Amen. Some of you fought on the way here with your spouses. That's why I ride separate from mine, so we don't have to fight on the way here. We're good most Sundays. Amen. I really am glad to have you all here this morning. Thank you, Brother Benji. Now I can see you good. Amen. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, we're going to be starting in verses 43. This is where we'll be taking our main text from. Then we're going to go into the book of Mark, Mark 1, and also Mark chapter 14. If you're overachievers, you can turn there and hold your place. If your fingers get tired, you don't have to hold it there long. I'll get around to it shortly. But Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48, I've titled this message for us this morning, I Just Want to Be Close to Jesus. I Just Want to Be Close to Jesus. Very well-known piece passage of Scripture here. Very excited about ministering this word this morning because of all of the Scriptures, all of the words that can be brought forth, the practicality of God's word that can be brought. There is nothing else in my heart that I long to be than close to Jesus. And I shared a little bit of that before we got started in worship, but I pray that as believers in Jesus that are here this morning, that your desire is to be close to Jesus, because that's where everything changes, is in his presence. We can proclaim the name of Jesus. We can confess the name of Jesus. But it is not the same as being close to Jesus. How many of you know in the presence of Jesus, especially in the Old Testament, where Daniel was praying to the Lord and his prayers were hindered in being returned by this prince of the air of Ephesus. And Jesus himself actually came and stood before Daniel. Do you remember what the text wrote about Daniel? It says that he fell on his face as dead, which means our flesh can't even stand in the presence of righteous Christ. And how wonderful! How many of you guys would like to get rid of your flesh every once in a while? That old pitiful flesh, that temptation, that struggle of life. I can tell you, you know where it dies? In the presence of Jesus. And so that's one of the wonderful things about being close to Jesus is that if I'm close to him, if I'm in the vicinity of him, I literally, my flesh falls on its face as dead. But not just that, if there's wounds in my heart, if there's things in my life that are shattered or broken, there's no greater healer than the Spirit of Christ. And so when you're in his presence, there's no hurt or wound that can't be healed by just the touch of his presence. And that's what makes Sunday mornings and Wednesday prayer meetings so wonderful when we gather together, because we invite him here. He's waiting for us, almost like Adam and Eve in the garden. He had a meeting place with them. And daily he would come and he would dwell with them in his presence. And they would just have the greatest of time, because no matter what the earth had to offer in hardship for them, there was a place of rest for them. There was a place of healing for them. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us as the people of God. We've gathered in his name this morning. We've sang in his name this morning. We've asked him to inhabit our praises and our prayers. We've asked him to honor the things that we've asked him to honor. And now it's our turn to open ourselves up and receive him in so that we can be close to him. Because how many of you know that it is only by a work of the Spirit that we're drawn to Jesus? It's only by his Spirit that we're drawn to him. It's only by his Spirit that we even are able to gain the revelation of Christ. But there is one thing that Jesus cannot do for us, and that's choose him when we are drawn to him. And that's the struggle, especially in evangelism. You know, the word says to go out into all the world and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not simply the fact that you're going and you're ministering this truth by the Holy Spirit, but the hard part is getting people into a place where they open themselves up to receive the preciousness that we all know is Jesus Christ. And that revelation. And so we can drag you to church. You know, anybody drug babies in here? Your mom has drug you to church every time the doors were open? You can drag them into the presence all you want to. You can throw them before the throne of Christ. But unless they are encouraged to open themselves up and to receive the goodness of Jesus, they're shut off from him. They've not opened their hearts to him, and therefore they could be standing face to face to him, and they've not received anything. It's like me trying to hand you a $100 bill. Well, if you don't open your hand and take it, you don't get it. It just falls to the floor. And it's very similar. God's desire is for us not just to come and to be with one another in his presence, but to open ourselves up to receive the fullness of what he has for us. How many of you know he has storehouses in heaven that he's ready to pour out in abundance upon us in the place that we are and in the things that we need? And it's simply just coming to him and opening ourselves up and receiving what he has. You have not because you ask not. And so I just want to be close to Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she had touched him, and now she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, I want to use this piece of scripture by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit's guidance, to encourage us this morning from this aspect, from this viewpoint. We have a woman here in this scene who for 12 years has the issue of blood. She was not able to stop up the issue of blood for 12 years, despite all of the physicians that she went to see, all of the different areas and avenues that she could have gone down to stop this sickness, this ailment in her body. She had exhausted everything, her finances, her resources. She had given up her time. Just to go, I'm sure her social status was ruined, because in this culture, the Jewish culture, a woman who was bleeding when it was that time of the month was not able to be in contact with anybody. It was a form of uncleanness, and so they were very isolated. So the fact that this woman had this issue concerning, she wasn't allowed to be around anyone, and so everything in her life was exhausted: relationships, money, social status, time. Physical ability, all of that was exhausted, rolled up into this. And I want to remind us, it's only by the Spirit of God that we're drawn unto Jesus. And in this time, I want us to remember that Jesus is going around right now in this season of the life that he was living, and he was healing all those that came to him. And we know that because when the disciples hear Jesus say, "Someone's touched me," their response was, "Jesus, there's thousands of people touching you. What are you talking about? Everyone's touching you. Everyone is. We're sort of packed in here. What do you mean?" Which means that it was noised in the general region that Jesus was there. It was made known everywhere, just like the Spirit of God. He's making it known to our hearts as we get ready on Friday and Saturday. He's making it known to our hearts by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we should be drawn here to the house of God, one with another, that we might meet with him. Or maybe it's a Monday night, and you say, "You know, I've had a long weekend. I've had a tough day." Maybe it's a Friday night, and you say, "I've had a long week. I can't make it to church. I can't wait two more days to get there. And it's the conviction of the Spirit that's noised in our soul that says, come meet with me, that draws us in, that says, there is something in you that's undone that in me can be done. There's a dissatisfaction in you that if you come unto me, that can be satisfied. There's an unfulfillment in your heart that isn't fulfilled in you. And I'm drawing you in because I can fulfill that in you. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what's happened to this woman. She's exhausted everything for answers. She's exhausted everything for a cure. And is that not the human nature? I mean, think about it. I mean, some of you have been Christians since you were born, so maybe I'm not talking to you. But people like me who I wasn't a Christian all of my life. I didn't get saved when I was 3 years old. And my life was constantly in want for something that I didn't know what it wanted. Now I realize that there is a hole in me that it can only be filled by Jesus. He created all of us that way. But there is a searching in us. Before we find Christ, looking for that fulfillment, looking for that satisfaction, looking for that healing, looking for that thing that is the answer to the void in us. And how many of you know the Spirit is drawing on that void? And you know how I know that? Because every time you go and try to fill it with one thing or another, it just makes it worse. Everything I've tried money, I've tried working hard. And making money and being successful. Successful as I was, as much money as I had, didn't make me happy. I've tried it in relationships. I'm in love with the most beautiful, wonderful woman in the world. Give me the greatest children. There's no greater relationships than the one that I have, but I have no fulfillment in that. Yes, I'm grateful for it, but they don't fill the hole in me. It was only until I found Jesus, or rather, he found me, he drew me to himself. And I gained revelation of him that I thought, now everything else that I have makes sense in him. And it's the satisfaction of Christ that we find. But for 12 years, this woman went everywhere, spent everything, exhausted everything she had just to find an answer to the issue of her life. And she finally heard that it was noise. That Jesus was in town and thousands of people were thronging upon him. Now remember, in the back of her mind, she realizes that I'm not allowed to touch anybody. I can't get to Jesus because if I touch other people, they're going to be made unclean. That was a death offense. I mean, people could have stoned her for that because of where the condition that she was in. But she even discarded her own well-being, so she's exhausted everything, even the love of her own life, that she might get close to Jesus. And as she approached him, I'm sure fear began to rise up more and more. What if it doesn't work? Nobody's ever had that thought in here. What if I go? What if I get to him? What if he doesn't answer? What if he isn't what everyone has said that he is? It's scary, isn't it? But that's why it's faith. That's why in your heart you must believe. Because even in her question, even in her discontentment in what she received from everyone else, in the failings of it all, she still pressed through and touched the hem of his garment. And when she did, all of a sudden she was made whole. And she was scared because all of a sudden, all of the questions of her life were answered in a moment. Now what do I do? She's not done anything else for the last 12 years but pursue healing of this. And now she's received it. Now what does she do? Almost like she's done something wrong. And Jesus turns around and goes, who has touched me? His disciples are like, Jesus, you're crazy. Everyone's touching you. What are you talking about? He said, everyone may have touched me, but there's one who has touched me. There's one who has believed, and there's power that's gone from me. And he turns around and she's there and she says, it's me. It was me that touched you. And not only did I touch you, but I'm healed. I'm whole again. And Jesus' response to her is beautiful. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. This is a perfect description and depiction of salvation for us, because we were just like this woman. We were hindered in our nature. We were separated from God. We were dying of this ailment, which is called sin. And we were drawn by the Spirit. We were drawn by the noise that there is a Savior that can free us of this temptation, of this struggle, of this imminent death. And when we found him, our lives were changed forever. And there's great examples of this when you look at the disciples, when they were called by Jesus. I mean, it's not just this woman. The disciples, when they were called by Jesus, they left everything when Jesus came to them and said, "Follow me." Anybody that faithful in here? Ready to inherit your father's business? And Jesus says, "Don't do it. Come and follow me. Be my disciple." That's a scary faith there. But there was something about Jesus that made that person go, "I don't know what this earthly thing is and what it's going to give me, but I've encountered something heavenly. And I have to forsake everything I know to follow him in faith." It was a now faith for them. And they walked with Jesus. They followed him. Turn with me quickly. I just want to share this briefly. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 39. We're going to read this account. Mark chapter 1, 35 to 39. And I want to give you a witness of the closeness that these men found in Jesus. These people that had recognized Jesus for who he was, that had a longing for Jesus, a closeness with Jesus, because of the recognition they had found by the Holy Spirit that he was exactly who he said that he was. He was the Messiah. He was the God, King, and Savior. Verse 35 says this, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." Now I want to bring our attention to what has happened here. Jesus and his disciples are now traveling. His disciples have left everything to know Jesus, to follow him, to be taught by him, to be discipled by him. There's a closeness between them and Jesus, such a closeness that Jesus arose early one morning, way before daylight, and he gets up and he goes a distance away from them, a far distance, and he begins to pray. Now, his disciples are stirred awake by his absence. Hear what I'm saying right here. They're stirred awake by his absence. They're not awoken because the rooster crowed. They're not awoken because their alarm clock went off. The moment that Jesus departs from them, there's a witness in their spirit that says, the person that we have grown close to, the presence of God, is no longer near me, and it's woken them up. And they get up in a panic. And it's obvious through what Peter says. Peter finally finds Jesus, and he says to Jesus, "Jesus, where have you been? You can't just wander off like that and leave us alone." That's the tone that he had. "How dare you get up and walk away from us? We missed you. We were asleep, and when I woke up, you weren't there. Don't ever leave me like that. Don't ever get far from me that way. I don't like it. I don't want to be any distance away from you." That is the mentality that Peter and the disciples have. And once they had found him, they were ready then to go on into the ministry of whatever Jesus was ready and willing for them to do. But I want to shift now from this place of where they are having this close moment with Jesus. They don't want to be anywhere separated from him. It's the same heart that the woman with the issue of blood had. I was distant from you. I was unwell. I had issue. That's why I came to you, so that you can deal with these things in my life. You can satisfy the unsatisfactory places in my life. I want to be close to you because I never want to feel like that again. I never want to go back to that place again. I don't want to deal with that depression. I don't want to deal with that anxiety. I don't want to deal with that physical ailment. I don't ever want to go back to that place where I was separate from you and my flesh had to deal with the problems of life. I found peace in your spirit. That's what the disciples are saying. We have found him. Remember Philip when he went to Nathanael. Philip went to Nathanael and he said, "We found the Christ." And Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And then Jesus showed up and said, "Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree." And Nathanael said, "Oh, teacher, you are the Messiah." The moment Nathanael saw him, he said, "You are exactly who Philip said that you were." There's this revelation by the Spirit of God that they're going, he is everything. And if you're a Christian this morning, you know what I'm talking about. When you gave your life to Jesus and you put your hope in him and your faith in him, there was instant gratification to know that it is well with my soul. Good, bad, ugly, the presence of God is upon me. There's peace for me. That withstands anything that goes on in my life. And that wasn't there before. And so therefore, there was this desire of closeness with the disciples. In Mark 14, I'm talking about the same people that we're talking about in Mark chapter 1. This is in verse 32. And it says, "And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to greatly be distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch.' And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but you will.' And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" Now, these are the same people out of Mark chapter 1 that said to Jesus, "Don't leave us. How dare you take your presence away from us? You woke us up. Just being any distance away from me." And then you go to Mark 14. Jesus isn't even a stone cast away. He's just a few steps from them. And now all of a sudden, Peter, James, and John, they can't bear the heaviness of the moment, and they begin to slumber. They begin to sleep. They're not concerned with the distance that Jesus has given them. They've come okay with it, which almost seems backwards to me, because in Mark chapter 14, Jesus would have been most potent in our faith and our desire of him, because all of the things that Jesus had done through the years that the disciples had walked with him. Think about it. He's raised the dead. He's healed the leper. He's raised the crippled and seen them walk. I mean, these disciples have seen everything. But they have somehow gotten into this place where they're discontent with Jesus. They've kind of gotten into this place where they're kind of lulled to sleep with the presence of Christ. Even in the most distressing moment of Christ's existence, his disciples are unconcerned. They're not worried about what's going on. They can't be bothered with the weight of it. Even when Jesus has come to them and he's drawing close and he's saying, "Please wake up and pray with me." And I can tell you, that's the temperature of a lot of Christians today. Jesus, it's Sunday after Wednesday after Sunday after Monday after Thursday, Jesus coming to Christians saying, "Wake up. Wake up. You're being content with distance between us. And you can't see it right now, but there's something around the corner that you need to be prepared for. There are things that are going to happen that you are not going to be able to get through without me. And I need you to be awake for them. I need you to be close to me for this situation. And you're sleeping. You've grown content with me. I need you to be close." And his disciples just weren't. They weren't concerned. But I can tell you, when Judas walks into the picture and kisses Jesus, and the soldiers come and they take Jesus into custody, fear rises up into the hearts of the disciples. And they're dispersed. They're run amok. They run as far away from Jesus as possible, even confessing that they don't even know him. Look how far of a distance has come between Peter and Jesus. The same Peter that said, "Jesus, I will die with you if that's what is necessary." But look now at the distance that's brought between them. Folks, we think that we are strong in our capability to be close to Jesus. But I can tell you, let one bad phone call come into our life, and it'll prove to you where your faith really lies. Let one situation come into your life. It'll show you the distance that you really are from Christ. And you know what the beautiful part about grace and mercy is? Is that if we come to ourselves by the Holy Spirit, when we're woken up by one of these things and we go, "Jesus, I'm too far from you. Come close. I don't want to go through this alone." He comes. Isn't that wonderful? He could say, "Look how far you've walked from me. Try harder and get closer to me." He could say that, but he doesn't. Remember Peter? It wasn't Jesus' idea for Peter to get out of the boat. Peter said, "If it's really you, call me out and I'll walk to you." When Peter took it upon himself, he tried to walk to Jesus to get close to Jesus. What happened? The wind and the waves, they were too great. Folks, when we try to get to Jesus, it's the same thing. The waves and the storms of life, they're too great for us. But what happens? The moment that Peter called out from Jesus, Jesus reached down and pulled him up out of his trouble, carried him back to the boat, got into the boat, and he spoke to the winds and the waves, and everyone worshiped him. We don't have to leave our boat to call on Jesus and say, "Can you come get in with me? We're tossed to and fro, Jesus. My family has gone through it. I'm having a hard time, Jesus. And here's the reality. I don't think I can walk to you. But I know you can get to me. And I know when you get in my boat with me, I know what it is when your presence is with me. I know what it is when you're close. I remember the peace that you always bring. I remember the comfort that you always give. I remember when I was broken and you made me whole. I know what happens when you get close to me. I know what happens when I try to get to you. So I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to try to make my way to you. I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to call on you because I know you're faithful. I know you're good. I know you're willing to come to me in my time of trouble. I know, God, that this woman may have to push through the crowd, but God, you'll push through the crowd for me. You'll come here to me and be close to me." So what is the thing that we must do this morning? What is the point of all of this? The point of this is to call on Jesus today. Amen. Saved or unsaved, the only answer is Christ. The only answer is his closeness to us. It is only his covering that makes us righteous. It is only his Spirit that makes us whole. And we can get so overwhelmed and distracted by the things that go on, especially through the years as you serve Jesus. I've been serving the Lord for 14 years, my life. A lot of it's been in ministry. And I can tell you, there's often times that I don't invite Jesus to places that I go because it's just normal stuff. It's easy to do that. Now, don't get me wrong. I am very quickly reminded that I have nothing to offer to anyone or myself. I'm a Peter out of the boat. And I'm reminded, "Jesus, I want to be close to you." Because I remember what it's like to not be close to you. I remember the feelings. I remember the adversaries. I remember the temptations. I remember the struggles of life. I remember going through things when I didn't have you. And I don't ever want to visit that place again. I don't ever want to have to go through the storms again alone. I want to be with you. I want to be close. I know I used this example last week, but it's very strong in my spirit here recently about Jacob when he wrestled with God. Jacob is a deceiver. He is a manipulator. He has conned his way into the blessing of God, which is not acceptable by God. God's not going to bless his deception. But when Jacob meets with God, Jacob comes into the revelation that the only way for me to be different is for you to change me. And I'm willing to get close to you. I'm willing to grab a hold of you and fight, if necessary, for you to change me. Because I know if you don't change me, I know what I am. I know what waits for me. Jacob knew that if God didn't change him, when he met Esau, he was going to be murdered. Jacob knew that. Jacob knew that when he came face to face with his brother, he was going to be killed because he was a deceiver. And he said, if you don't change me, it's death for me. Folks, do you know what life is without salvation? The eternal death. It's hell, separated from God. Do you know that fire and brimstone is not the punishment? You know that? It's not torture that is the punishment in the lake of fire. There, in hell, there is no presence of God. For the first time ever, your soul will be void of the presence of God. Right now, in this world, there are people that are born, that are atheists, that don't believe in God, they don't care about God, yet they're not void of the presence of God. The grace of God hovers over the earth and is with everyone, pursuing them by His Spirit, drawing them. But there will come a day after judgment where they will be ripped from the presence of God. And that's the torment. Isn't that unbelievable? That is the worst part of hell? So how precious is the presence of God? How necessary is the presence of God for us who know who He is? So precious. To the point of Jacob clinging to God. I want to be like Jacob. I want to be like Mark 1, disciples. I want to be woken up from my slumber when Jesus steps away. I want to be stirred in my spirit when He's not with us on a Sunday. Anybody want to come here if the presence of God isn't here? I know you don't like my preaching that much. I'm not the reason you come. You come to meet with Him. But imagine if He wasn't here. I wouldn't come. I wouldn't want to come to a dead church. I wouldn't want to come to a place that Jesus isn't going to be, because my heart longs for Him. I just want to be with Him. And that's what I'm encouraging us this morning. Cora, would you come? Encourage us from the place that we're in. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like the woman with the issue of blood. You've exhausted every avenue, every opportunity. You've exhausted it. You just said, I've tried everything to be satisfied. I've tried everything to heal this wound in my soul. I've tried everything to fulfill this aching emptiness in my life. And nothing works. I mean, I've exhausted it all. My social status, I've broken the law. I've done all these things, and I've still not received what I need in my life. Let it be noise to you this morning. Let it, by the Holy Spirit, come to you and reveal to you that your answer is awaiting you. And His name is Jesus. And you can burst through the crowd. You can burst through the multitude that's been holding you back. You can run through it. Jesus has made the way. And all you got to do is get to Him. And I'll tell you this, if you can't get to Him this morning, He can get to you. He can get to you. And He does. I'm telling you, there are some days I can walk to Him. There are. But there are some days I can't crawl to Him. And I say, Jesus, reach down and grab me. Hold me close. That was the best part of the whole trip for Peter. He got to be held by Jesus. He was carried by Him. I'm jealous. I can't wait to get to heaven. I think the streets of gold are going to be magnificent to look upon. I can't wait to see my loved ones. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't wait to jump into the arms of my Father. To fully embrace all that. I'm just getting bits and pieces of Him here. But to fully embrace all that He is. He's that treasure. He's that treasure. And so if you don't know Him here this morning, I can tell you, you can run to Him. But if you're at a place of despair and you can't, he'll come to you. He runs to you. If you're a Christian this morning and you've been through it, you've seen the miracles, you've seen the signs, you've seen the wonders, you've seen the revivals, and you're just gliding through. You're just, you know, the mundaneness of church and Christianity. Jesus is okay at a distance with you. I encourage you this morning to ask the Spirit of God, wake me up. How many of you know there's a time coming? Jesus is coming for his church. We believe the rapture is coming. But how many of you know there's some things that we're going to have to walk through? We've already walked through some things. There are things that we're going to deal with. Folks, I cannot describe to you the phone calls that I get every day of a week. Someone's baby's passed away. Someone has cancer. I need help taking my loved one off of life support. There are battles that are ahead of us that we cannot get through alone. Not nonetheless the rapture, but battles we can't get through alone that we need Jesus to be close to us. And I'm not, I hope I'm not speaking for myself, but I want to be close to Jesus. I want to. Because I can tell you, I'm weak. And I know that I can't bear. Listen, I don't know how the families that are going through what they're going through are going through it. Outside of just the present. That's the only thing that I'm confident in, that you have Jesus this morning. And he's close to you, because I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine bearing what you're bearing. But I know if I ever was asked to carry what you're carrying, I want to be close to Jesus when I do it. I need him to be close to me. Will you stand this morning? If there's any of you here this morning, you just say, I just want to be close to him. I want to give my life to him. I want to rededicate my life to him. I've been saved all this time, but I know there's things in my future. If that's you this morning and you just say, I just want to be close to him, these altars are open. You're welcome to come. We'll pray with you, encourage you. That this is not a pulpit series where I'm talking down to you like I've got this figured out. I know the way. This is a desperate man saying, this is the only way I've found to get through life. And that's close to Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you desire prayer, I again open these altars to you. Father, we just come to you today. Coming to these altars is not a requirement for you to meet us where we are, Jesus. And I know there are hearts here this morning, just like mine, who are looking for you, Jesus, who are calling upon you like they were in Mark 1. I want you to be close to me. I don't want you to be any distance from me, Jesus. Maybe there's hearts here this morning like the woman with the issue of blood who's exhausted everything in her life and said, I just know if I can get to him, I'll have my answers. Father, those hearts, I pray you just meet them here this morning. Meet us all here this morning. Let us be witnesses, God, of faith. Faith is the substance of things. Father, you make it real. Our belief in you, it becomes real through that faith. And so this morning, I just pray that hearts are open and they receive you. They receive you right where they are, saved or unsaved. God, we need to run to you. We need you to run to us. But one thing I know, like Jacob said, I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm not letting you go until you change me. Because without you, I have to deal with all this. I am all these things without you, and I don't want to be that anymore. I don't want to deal with that anymore. I want to be free. Your word says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. It also says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so, Father, what that tells me is wherever you are, God, there's freedom. So let it be, God, that I am where you are. I want to be with you, God. I want to be drawn to you. I want you to be drawn to me. We throw ourselves on you this morning. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning, church. Thank you, everybody who's here, our guests. I pray you feel at home. You're welcome back anytime. Y'all drive safe and enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. On top of that, thank you as a church for those who've given their lives. We want to honor them this morning. God bless you.